Dear brethren and church family, we all know that the book of Ruth, don't we, to be this beautiful love story, this true love story account between Boaz and Ruth. Boaz, of course, means strength from within. That's the line of Christ. Ruth, of course, was a Moabitess. She was a Gentile, wasn't she? But she found faith in the, she found favour in the sight of God. Ruth and Boaz point to Christ and his love for his church, in particular his love for the Gentiles. But dear friends, there is also a more untold story, a true account in the book of Ruth, which we read earlier, which seldomly is ever heard of. And that is the earlier account of Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their two sons, and of course whom they would come to marry, one of them being Ruth. And if you were to read that passage we read earlier in Ruth chapter 1 very carefully, you'll notice that there are two sets of God's providences laid before us, which we would do very well to consider this Lord's Day morning. I've entitled, therefore, today's sermon, When God's Providence Calls You. When God's Providence Calls You. Well, initially we see the first providence of God here in the first few verses of Ruth, chapter 1, which comes in the form of a famine, doesn't it? It comes in the form of a famine. Let us read that in Ruth chapter 1, the first few verses. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country, and they came into the country of Moab, and continued there. And so, dear brethren, at this point, let us pause for a minute and understand that God's judgment in terms of the famine was upon the people of Israel because of their sin and because of their pride and stubbornness. And we know this from the book of Leviticus 26, 19 and 20, where God warned Israel that the heavens would be like iron and that the ground would be like brass and the fruit trees would no longer yield their fruit. And so God warned them that he would bring famine upon the promised land, a bountiful land that the heavens would shut up, as it were, and be as iron. And during the days of the judges, the Lord allowed Israel to be oppressed, you see. And then he brought judges in order to reform them and to humble them and to bring them low through hard providences so that they would see their needs, repent of their sins, and to come home to their God again, and to receive his instruction, and to receive his word. And so, dear brethren, let this be a reminder to us that if we will not hearken to the words of the living God, to his words, the Lord will often speak to us through hard providences and circumstantial providences. For it is better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed, rather than to have two hands and two feet, and to be cast into everlasting fire. You see, friends, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, tried to escape God's judgment, didn't he? Upon Israel, the famine, by moving himself and his family to the country of Moab. And we know that God forbid that, because Moab was an idolatrous nation. Moab hated the things of the God of Israel. The Lord gave them the land of Canaan, a bountiful land, and the Lord brought the famine upon that land. And yet we see, don't we, Elimelech not wanting to face up to his sins, not wanting to face God's judgments, and so he sells it all, as it were, and he goes to the land of Moab. He wants to get away from God's judgments, from God's providential call. Friends, you cannot outrun the judgments of God in your life. This was a big mistake. You will just make things worse if you outrun God's judgments, his call for repentance and to trust in him. What reason had Elimelech to leave more than his neighbors? Why didn't the rest of Bethlehem, remember, it's the house of bread, Bethlehem. It's a mighty blessed land. But God, through his providential call, brought them low. Why did the rest of the people of Judah also go into Moab? Well, the reason is because they knew that this was God's judgment. They dare not provoke God. They dare not carry on in their sin. It's time to face up to their sin. It's time to understand that they have rebelled from the word of God, and the Lord is bringing them low now. It's time to face up to their sin. And yet we know, don't we, from Ruth chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, that Elimelech sold his land. And remember, this was the land that God gave them as a gift. They didn't have to earn it. He gave it to them. And yet he sold it and moved it to Moab, as it were. This land was to be separated to them. It was God's gift to them. And they were to do nothing, have nothing got to do with the idolatrous nation of Moab. And dear friends, Naomi, Elimelech's wife, perfectly sums up God's providential dealing with them in verse 21. She says, doesn't she, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." I want us to concentrate upon those words, which will be our focus for today's sermon. "I went out full," says Naomi. We sold everything, as it were. We were not going to stay and face God's judgment upon us. We're going to run from God's judgment, even into sin, even into an idolatrous nation. We're going to go back into the world, as it were, instead of facing one's sin and examining one's heart. "I went out full. I had everything, husband, sons. We sold our property. We had much materials. I went out full. And the Lord had brought me home again empty. Where were these goods which I trusted in? Money, materials, husband, children. When the sun has gone up, they have shrunken in my life, as it were, friends. Where are these things which I put my trust in, as it were?" How many millions of people, dear brethren, do what Elimelech did when confronted with God's judgments, his word? How many millions of people run back into the world, as it were, back into sin? If sinful man will not listen to the heavens that declare the glory of God, at all, the proclaimed word of God, the Bible, which is the number one selling book ever, nor the still voice of conscience, the law of God, that tells us that we're guilty and we need a Savior, we need Jesus Christ. If sinful man will not hearken through the word of God and the providences of God, God must needs speak and thunder through the humbling providences of hard circumstances in order to bring us low. And that's just the truth of Scripture. If we rebel from our Maker, and if we go outside of Him and we seek the world's good and we seek to live for the world, God will speak to us through humbling providences. And yet, even then, the heart of man is so hard that it can continue to rebel against God. Such is the hardness of the heart, friends. Dear friends, it is a truth of Holy Scripture, isn't it?
that when God calls home any poor, wretched sinner, he first empties them of self and brings them low. So the question is, has God emptied you of yourself? Of what you think is right? Of your own understanding? Have you been emptied? Are you still full of yourself? Full of your own plans? Full of your own ideas? The question is, therefore, brethren, has the Lord brought you low in your heart and in your mind? Have you been emptied of self-love? Love for the world, trying to run like Elimelech did from the judgments of God instead of facing up to your problem. And that is, of course, the problem of your sin, the problem of my sin. Do we face up to that? Do we examine our own hearts and say, I need to face up to these things? Do you see yourself as Naomi did, dear friends? Poor, heartbroken, in great need of mercy. They went away from God's ways. And the Lord Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 18:3, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. A little child is not full of themselves, are they? A little child. A little child is not self-reliant. They don't depend upon themselves. A little child, as you can see, totally depends upon his mother. And, dear friends, unless you become as a little child, depending upon God, not upon the world, not upon our own understanding, our own ideas, we need to face up to God's judgments, dear friends. Are you full of the things of this world? Ask yourself that question. Are you full of yourself in making your own plans, your own decisions, outside of the words of God, outside of the judgments of God? Well, friends, I really hope and pray the Lord will bring a famine of heart and soul upon all of us here gathered today, and that all who will listen to today's sermon, that we may know when God's providence calls us through hard afflictions and trials. The Lord often works in this respect, doesn't he? Well, if the first of God's providence in the life of Naomi was a famine, which ought to have drawn her closer to the Lord and dependence upon the Lord and not further away, the second of God's providence, as we see here, was the premature death of her husband and that, of course, of her two sons, leaving her completely bereaved and widowed. Now, at this stage, I must say that not every premature death or sickness is a judgment of God upon sin. I must say that. Because sometimes God has a secret word, like he did with Joseph, like he did with Job, and sometimes we cannot fully understand. He's got a greater purpose. But I must say, in this particular case, it can be certain this was a judgment of God. And I fear, in this day of great compromise of God's word, that many a providence of God has gone upon his church today, because we've left off the word of God. And as it says, doesn't it, in the Psalm 16:4, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. And of course, this was the case. Elimelech, really deep down, dear friends, knew this was God's judgment when he was in the land of Moab. He knew that God's judgment was upon him. He named his children. What did he name his children? He named his children Mahlon and Chilion. That their names mean sickness and consumption. That's what rebellion from God does, doesn't it? When we sin and rebel from God, it brings sickness. When sin has conceived, it brings forth death. Sin consumes us, doesn't it? It consumes every part of our lives. Friends, if we ignore the word of the living God and his providential callings in our lives, we can only expect to be consumed by our sin and the love of the world. We could be like Elimelech and just try to run away from God's judgments and providences in our life. When sin hath conceived, it bringeth forth death.
Christ's words really ring true to this respect in Matthew 16:25. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. That's what Elimelech was doing. Trying to live for himself, for the flesh, and not for the soul. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. If you like David, dear friends, fall into the hands of the living God and not into the hands of man. We're in a great strait, all of us. And we need not fall into the hands of man. We must fall into the hands of the living God. And it's sad to say that many people copy Elimelech's example here. Imagine if all the people of Canaan and Bethlehem were to copy Elimelech and to depopulate Canaan and to follow in that wicked way into that idolatrous nation. It would have depopulated Canaan, friends. And sad to say that many people copy Elimelech's example. And dear friends, I was one of them. Before my conversion, I was an Elimelech. I was running from the judgments of God. My brother Jason was converted. My sister was converted, Teresa. And my mum was converted. They witnessed to me of the word of God. They would give me tracts. But I was so stubborn. My heart was so resistant. I tried to go back into the world. I resisted the grace of God. I rebelled from the judgments of God. And you know what? My condition just got worse, friends. I never thought I would do the things that I did. The line I thought I'd never cross, I kept on crossing. We can all be Elimelechs, friends. I was one prior to conversion, trying to fill the empty void within me with the world, the fleeting things of this world. But they could never make me happy. Because we're made for eternity. I was just trying to fill it with a temporary source, dear friends. They can bring no lasting peace. Sin consumes, friends. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here today. And deep down, really, you know in your heart that you're not right with God. And friends, you've ignored the pricks of conscience for some time now. And perhaps even to the extent that the hand of God providentially has been heavy put upon you, like it was with Naomi. It's time to go home, dear friends, to your Maker, like Naomi did in her heart. It's time to go home to God, to repent of your sin, to repent of your running away from God. Naomi went home to Bethlehem. She went home to the God of Israel. It's time to go home, friends, to the Lord God, our Maker. You may have run from the famine of God's judgment and providential calls for many years now, only to realize that has made your condition worse. You're in a critical state, spiritually speaking. Your condition is critical. Rebellion from your Maker and the only Savior of sinners has brought you sickness of soul. It's consumed and broken down every good thing in your life that God has given you. This is how I was before conversion. My sin just consumed me and broke down everything. Is this true of someone here today? And friends, you may have escaped the famine of God's judgment for now, as Naomi did, when you went out full to begin with, and you started off life with a spring in your step, as it were, and like the tinsel, you thought, oh, this life is great, and I'll give myself to my career, and to this and that, and to the bottle, and to this and to pleasures. I'll put all these distractions in front of me. I went out full, like Naomi. How many people could testify to that? And then, many years later, what happens? Bitterness of soul. These things can never fill. The longing soul, they can never make us happy. Because we're made for eternity. We're made to have a relationship with our Maker, friends. Friends, be reassured, friends, you cannot escape death. It's coming. The wages of sin is death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment.
Every one of us, we have an appointment. Friends, there's a providential appointment. Death is coming. And unless you're in Christ, and unless you turn from your sin, unless you take the judgments of God seriously, your condition will get worse. You must turn and live and look to Christ. Repent of your sins. No doubt, of course, Naomi was a true believer. She did trust in the Lord God of Israel. And she did have faith in the Lord. And that faith in the Lord had a big impact upon her life. And on the life of Ruth, didn't it? The Moabitess. And however, her husband, on the other hand, Elimelech, rebelled from the word of the living God. And so did his sons follow in his footsteps in marrying unbelievers, in being unequally yoked in marriage. And for this, their lives were shortened, weren't they? However, what they meant for evil, God meant for good, in bringing about the salvation of Ruth, the Moabitess, the Gentile. Is this not a picture of the gospel, dear friends? How the gospel is poured out to the Gentiles. Today is a day of salvation, friends. We have the favor of God upon us, dear friends. And Ruth knew this favor, and she embraced the God of her mother, the God of Israel, dear friends. And this is what we need to do. Now, friends, you'll notice that Naomi in verse 20 says, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." So she says, "Call me not Naomi. Don't call me by that name anymore. I don't want to be called Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me Mara." Naomi means pleasant one. I don't want to be known as pleasant one anymore. She doesn't think of herself to be pleasant anymore. She doesn't think of herself the way she used to think of herself, does she? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me Mara. By the sounds of it in verse 19, it would seem that she was very well known before she left, when she went out full. People were astonished, weren't they? Saying, "Is this Naomi? Is this the pleasant one? The popular one? Perhaps the well-off one? Is this Naomi? But look at her now. Look at the rags she's in. She went out full. Look at her, the pleasant one." Naomi says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Don't call me that. I'm not the pleasant one anymore. I don't want to be called that anymore. No, says Naomi, call me Mara. Mara means bitter, friends. Mara means bitter. Bitterness is all we can expect, friends, when we run from our Maker. Bitterness. Bitterness of heart. Bitterness of soul. When we run from God's providential callings. Friends, it is not how you start that counts, friends. It's not how we start that counts. We all start off in sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. We all start off, friends, in a wrong way. It's how you finish that counts. We all miss the mark of obedience. All of us fall short of the glory of God. The question is, friends, are you converted? Are you truly converted? And do you truly know Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life? You must prioritize this more than anything. You must see yourself as Naomi did, as poor, wretched, as it were, empty, in need of filling, in needing of Christ, in need of mercy and the salvation of God. She turned in her heart back to Bethlehem, back to the Savior. Friend, she heard how God had visited his people again. And she turned, didn't she? She realized her ways. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Dear friends, truly blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If God has shown you your sin and your great need of Him, He's shown you the light of the gospel has shined in your heart, and like Naomi, you've realized your sin, and like Ruth as well, you've forsaken the gods of Moab, the gods of the world, you've realized the worthlessness of them, and you've embraced the God of Israel. You've sought Him. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourn over sin. Mourn over the consequences of sin. Blessed are they that feel hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That was Naomi, wasn't it? She backslid as a believer, didn't she? But the Lord brought her back again. But her faith, God used, of course, to bring Ruth to saving faith as well. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you thirst? Are you hungry? Are you empty? Has God emptied you? Has He called you through His word, through providence, just hard providences? He's brought a famine, and perhaps you've ignored the famine. And the Lord has brought many other things. Sickness, death in the family. He's talking to us. He's saying you must make provision for your soul. Death is coming. Have you done that, friends? Have you made sure that you're in Christ? That you're trusting in Him alone, by faith alone, on His finished work on the cross of Calvary? Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Don't look within yourself. You cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. I can't go to a vicar. I can't go to a pastor. Reading my Bible won't save me. It's a means. Going to church can't save me. It's a means. It's a good means. Only looking outside of ourselves to the crucified one, to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God in the flesh, living the perfect life that we could never live, perfectly obeying the law of God, perfectly, in all points, tempted as we are, yet without sin, perfectly righteous, only doing good, and yet, how did He die? He died as a criminal. He died as a lawbreaker. Why? For you and me. Because He loved you. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And God laid down His holy life. The perfect, blemishless Lamb of God was laid for us. And He was punished in our stead. The wrath of God was punished upon the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, so that you be made free in Him, that you may have His righteousness put upon you. That's the gospel. When you look outside yourself to Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross, His blood cleanses you from all of your sin. His righteousness He gives to you. You have His robe of righteousness. When you're called to the day of judgment one day, you won't be standing in your own righteousness. You will have Christ's righteousness, His blood on you. You'll be saved. Have you called upon the Lord? This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. And the Lord can do that for you, friends. I hope and pray that you've been emptied. You must be emptied before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ruth forsook the false gods of Moab, didn't she? The gods of this world, the gods that people put their trust in, she forsook them. She said to her mother, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I count all those things but dung, even though you're bereaved, even though you're widowed. I'm following you because you are holding to the true God. I'm going with you. Do we do that? Are we following the Lord? Are we forsaking the world, the gods of the world, the people, the things that people put their trust in, their career, money, pleasures, wealth, or forsake them? They cannot give you peace with God. Turn to the Lord God of Israel, like Ruth did. And she was saved, wasn't she? And she was both enriched spiritually and physically. She came to marry Boaz, didn't she? And she found sight in the favor of God. Boaz, of course, means strength from within. That's the name Boaz, strength from within. She had that strength from within. She was converted. So was Ruth. And Boaz, of course, comes from the line of Christ. The strength from within. Christ. And Boaz saw Ruth. Look at this lady here. She's a woman of virtue. She's not like the normal women. She loves the Lord. Look at her love for the Lord. Look at how she treats her mother. She's a virtuous woman. Look at her. Boaz saw that this was a virtuous woman. This was a godly woman. Someone who feared, though she was a Moabitess, though she was a Gentile, she was a godly woman. And Boaz saw that because he was a spiritual man. He was a believer. And so Naomi turned back from Moab first in her heart and went home to the Lord God. She turned in her heart first, friends. She understood her family's folly in running when God's providence calls. She wasn't running away anymore from God. We need to face up to our Maker, don't we? We all get it wrong, friends. We need to face up to our sin. Sin brings sickness. Sin brings death. When are we going to face up? In a personal way, have you faced up to your Maker? Have you faced up to your sin, dear friends? You must. You must. I compel you this day. Do as Ruth did. Embrace the Lord God of Israel. Turn from your sins. Dear friends, if God is calling you this day, don't rebel from your Maker. Go home to God. That's why we're made. We're made to have a relationship with our Maker. And Jesus Christ has come to fix that broken relationship because of our sins. You can know of God. You can know the power of the Holy Spirit in you when you believe upon the name of Jesus Christ and you're saved. You can know the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And of course, Ruth and Naomi knew of this power and this peace with God. Come home to God. Repent of your sins. Trust in the Savior. He will save you through Christ. And He will comfort you through the Holy Spirit. Amen.